Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuckers Bryant. And that makes this Stuff You Should Know.
I'm always here for you, Josh.
Hey.
Hey.
Whatever. I'm glad you are, Chuck.
Sure.
This is episode two in the new studio.
Yes.
The walls are closing in on us.
I kind of like it in here now. I'm already used to it.
Chuck.
Josh.
So the Bible's been popping up in my life a lot lately.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Yumi and I just started subscribing to Harper's.
Okay.
Monthly, weekly, one of those two.
Uh-huh.
It's like this magazine from like 1889.
Yeah, I know it.
Okay. And in the first article of the first issue that we got, it's, there's a notes section by a guy who says that the Old Testament is an allegory for the Neolithic Revolution. Remember
really?
Where we went from hunting and gathering to agriculture?
Sure.
And he made some really cool points, right?
Interesting.
Like, for example, Cain and Abel. Abel was a herdsman. Cain was a farmer. Cain murdered Abel.
Yeah.
Right?
Slew.
So he slew him.
Uh-huh.
First murder ever, as far as we know.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
Yes. I can't remember what he said about Adam and Eve, but basically, like, that's the beginning where we... It was actually kind of a cautionary tale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, be careful. There's all this other stuff associated with agriculture that you're not seeing.
Right.
So I found that intensely interesting. Then you suggest we do one on the Jefferson Bible. And I'm like, what is going on here? Right?
Right.
Third one.
Number three.
This elderly woman, by all rights, she's in her 80s, 90s.
Okay.
Spitfire lady still, though.
Sure.
Doesn't like to use a blinker when she stops suddenly in parking lots when I'm right behind her.
They never do.
So I went around her. I was a little irritated, and I wanted her to know it. She lays on her horn.
Really?
And I stick my head out, and I'm like, be quiet, and like go and park, right?
Shut, you did not.
I go and park, and I go into Publix.
Be quiet.
This woman comes and finds me.
Oh, my goodness.
And is like, are you sir, are you the gentleman who went around me in traffic and blah, blah, blah? And she's like berating me loudly in the middle of Publix.
You said, I'm no gentleman.
So finally, she ends it with, you need to get to church. And I was
That's
like,
not true.
I swear to God.
Wow.
I'm not kidding you. My friend Tom, my BFF Tom.
Uh-huh.
Was on the phone with me. He can verify this.
And you said Betty White is coming after me in a Publix.
I wish this was Betty White. This woman was terrifying.
Wow.
She was wearing like clam diggers with white socks pulled up, black
wow.
SAS shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Her skin hung loose, and she had fire in her eyes. She wanted to kill me.
What did you say? Did you reply anything, or did you just sheepishly?
I wasn't sheepish.
You're not going to say what you said. You can tell me afterward, though, right?
Sure.
Okay.
But I wasn't sheepish. I wasn't like entirely mean, but I didn't. Frankly, as you know, I quit the Boy Scouts because I think that it's a bad idea to just give blanket respect to the old people because they're old.
Okay.
I've met some old jerks in my time, and this
True.
Woman
yeah,
was
yeah,
actually
yeah.
one of them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's this week, man. 3.
That's an exciting week.
I never talk about the Bible. It never comes up. Church never comes up.
Yeah.
But here we are.
All right.
Chuck, did Thomas Jefferson write or rewrite the Bible? Fact or fiction?
Hey, that's old school.
Yeah.
Josh, that is faction, because he did not rewrite the Bible, but he did cobble together his own version of the Bible that he thought was valid and should be read.
And fitting.
I'll just say that.
Which is actually, if you think about it, a pretty pretentious and arrogant thing to do.
Yeah, this wouldn't go over well in today's president. If someone said Obama put together,
yeah,
you know, different parts of the Bible and said that this was what I think the Bible should be, he wouldn't last too long.
No, I don't think it would have ever gone over. If Taft had done it, he would have been like run out of town on a rail. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, the early days, so you could get away with anything back then.
I suspect that Thomas Jefferson had Asperger's.
Okay.
From some of his demeanor, the way he carried himself, his incredibly high level of intellect.
Uh-huh.
I suspect that he had something along those lines, right?
He might have.
You can also say that he could not have cared less what people thought of him.
No.
He did his own thing.
Yeah.
Highly intelligent guy. And like you said, if it had come out that a president had done that, a lot of people are unaware of this, that it wouldn't go over very well.
Which is why he didn't let it out.
I don't know that that's why he didn't let it out. I think he just was doing it for himself.
Right.
Genuinely.
Well,
I don't think he was trying to be secretive about it. But you were saying, like, it wouldn't go over well today. It's kind of fashionable in certain quarters to point out that the founding fathers were bent on founding a Christian nation.
Right.
It's a very contentious thing to say, although a lot of people, that's how they see the United States, right?
Yeah.
I think Thomas Jefferson cutting up the Bible and cutting out all the miracles and what he considered gobbledygook kind of undermines that argument a little bit, don't you think?
Well, he was a deist. It's a good time to bring that up.
Uh-huh.
George Washington was a deist.
Benjamin Franklin.
And a deist.
These are what we call founders, I believe.
They differ from traditional Christians because they reject miracles, basically. A lot of the prophecies. And they, it says here, they embrace the notion of a well-ordered universe created by God, but God then withdrew into detached transcendence. So they believe, like a lot of things Christians believe, but a lot of people at the time said this was a way for you to reconcile your Christianity with all these amazing new scientific findings that we're finding that kind of fly in the face of Christianity.
Right. And deism was the Enlightenment religion, right?
Yeah.
And basically the way it looked at God is there's a creator God, but he's kind of like a clockmaker. And he created this clock of a universe, wound it up, and just stood back to watch it go.
That's a great way to say it.
And do you remember, like, in the really uber paranoid late 90s, right before the millennium, there's kind of a concept that the universe is the result of an alien experiment?
Right.
That's kind of like in the same vein, actually. There's some higher power.
Right.
That doesn't have a hand in our individual lives, but
it was started.
Created all this. Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
It is. So
that was TJ.
That was TJ, MBF and GW.
T Jeff. That's what his nickname today would be, T Jeff.
His nickname today is T Jeff.
As of now.
Yeah.
So, he also was he penned the Declaration of Independence, we should say, which most people know.
He was also the one who first elucidated the, wall of separation between church and state.
Yeah, it did not come from the Constitution.
No, but so there's this Baptist convention of Danbury.
Yes,
right?
The Connecticut Committee of the Danbury Baptist Association.
And they wrote to Jefferson saying, is this a Christian nation or not, basically?
He went, sort of.
He basically pointed to, no, he said
no.
I'm sure you agree with me that religion is between a man and his God.
Right.
And really eloquently said, no, there's a First Amendment, there's a clause in the First Amendment that says that Congress won't establish a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, Thomas Jefferson, as president, and one of the guys who wrote that.
Right.
See it as a wall of separation between church and state.
Yeah. He thought it was a very, very personal thing, religion was. Spirituality was a very personal thing, and no one should step in and tell you what to think about it.
Right. It's so personal that he decided to craft his own Bible.
Yes. And one of the reasons he did this, because, like we said, he was a deist. Deist or deist? Deist.
I think you can go either way.
All right, he's a deist. And he was also very skeptical of who wrote the Bible, the Gospels in particular. He thought they were, quote, unlettered and ignorant.
Yeah, basically how he saw the Bible writers were...
Evangelists. That's where the name comes from.
Yeah.
Those were the Gospel writers.
But they were also Platonics. They followed Plato.
Right.
And wrote around the time of Plato.
Mm-hmm.
And they... Remember when we were talking about, like, Halloween, Christmas,
sure.
Easter...
All the pagan holidays?
Yeah, they're all pagan holidays yeah. that we've adopted and Christianized in,
right.
in an effort.
Easter's
to,
not,
to
though,
right? Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, spring harvest.
Oh, right.
Or spring equinox. Vernal equinox, I think is what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Vernal and autumnal. Yes, vernal equinox. And Esoterra was a pagan goddess.
Right.
Anyway, this is how he viewed the Bible being written, like... Like, there was a person named Jesus mm-hmm. of Nazareth.
Sure.
He walked. Awesome guy.
Great philosopher.
Incredible philosopher. Mm-hmm. Had this amazing moral code.
Great
and,
drummer.
What, right? and then and espoused it to people
uh-huh.
Who remembered it, passed it down orally, and then somebody finally wrote it down.
Right.
But when they were trying to write it down, they were also trying to establish a church.
Sure.
And so they added some magic. So that they could bring the pagans into the fold.
A.K.A. miracles.
Yes.
And he also believed, and this is where he really wouldn't jibe with today's system as a politician,
mm-hmm.
he did not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. He did not believe that he was the Son of God.
Right.
He thought that he was like Plato, essentially, like a spot-on philosopher. But he thought a lot of him. He said, he wrote a letter to John Adams in 1813 and said that, the book that he ended up putting together, mm-hmm. which we'll get into the nuts and bolts of that, but he called it the most sublime and benevolent code of morals which has ever been offered to man.
Yeah, Jesus' philosophy.
Yeah, so he clearly thought a lot of Jesus' philosophy.
And he thought a lot of the Greek philosophers, and I imagine other religious philosophers as well, but what he was saying was that what Jesus had come up with was yeah. as good as it gets.
He kind of bashed Plato, though. Did you see that?
Yeah, he read Plato in the original Greek and was like, meh.
Yeah, exactly. He found it lackluster.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, guess he's hard to please. He read the Bible and he cut it down to 46 pages.
He did. Christopher Hitchens put it like this. And you know Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah.
He's not a big guy on religion.
No.
He kind of actively combats it. But yeah, there's a 46-second clip on YouTube of Christopher Hitchens debating somebody, and he describes the Jefferson Bible as what was left after Jefferson took a pair of scissors and cut out anything that could not, by any intelligent person, be believed. It makes for a slender, convenient read.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, if
That's
you hate Hitchens Christopher
take.
Hitchens, this is no surprise to you. If you love Christopher Hitchens, this is no surprise.
Yes, but he got one thing wrong. He apparently used a razor and not scissors. Small detail.
Right.
But
well,
he literally...
originally, he went through and was scratching stuff out.
Oh, really?
And then I think he went back and started cutting stuff out.
Well, he found himself scratching so much out, it got tiresome.
Yeah.
He's like, I should just cut out what I do like instead of scratching out what I don't like.
Right.
Because
he's like, oh, yeah.
All told, there are 31,103 Bible verses, numbered Bible verses.
Right, but he was just doing the New Testament. So we're talking 7,957.
Right. And specifically the Gospels of Matthew and Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Which there was more than that, but he used a lot from Matthew and Luke, 2,222 in Matthew and Luke, and all told, he only had, the Jefferson Bible only had 990
right.
verses. Hey everybody, it's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So he definitely pared down quite a bit.
Big time.
He took out everything about Christ's birth, the virgin birth.
Yeah, that was gone.
He left in the crucifixion, but it ends at the burial. There's no resurrection.
Yeah, basically the last verse was John 19, and they ended it. His book ends with they rolled the stone in front of the sepulcher, and
the end.
The end.
He left a lot of the Last Supper in, but kept the part of the Eucharist out.
Right.
Like, this is my body, and
which is the
this
sacrament.
My blood, and
sure.
All that. Yeah. So basically, he just kept in basically the life and times of Jesus of Nazareth and his philosophy.
Yeah, they in the article that he left what they called what he considered genuine events, like the Sermon on the Mount, certain parables, the way to live your life. And see, that's always been my deal. I don't want to get too personal. But you know I was raised Baptist.
Think after the last 200 episodes, it's a little late for that. Yeah,
I was raised Southern Baptist, and it wasn't the best experience for me. But I still say, I still maintain that the Bible is a great moral code, and there's lots of great parables that teach you how you should act as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I'm in Jefferson's camp, because that's what he ended up using.
Sure.
As he ended up calling it initially the philosophy of Jesus of Nazareth, and then changed that title later to the life and morals of Jesus of Nazareth.
Right. And then in the 1910 edition, there was a subtitle, or How to Get By in Queens on a Dime a Day.
How long have you been working on that one?
Just now, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
No, seriously.
So it clearly wasn't called How to Win Friends and Influence People, because this probably wasn't a very popular thing to do even back then.
No, I'm sure it would have the same effect as How to Win Friends and Influence People, though.
Yeah. But he did keep it quiet. He said it was for himself.
Again, I don't think he kept it quiet. I think he was just keeping it for himself. I disagree with part A of the sentence you just said, but agree with part B.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a quote from him if you want to hear from the man himself.
I do.
Josh is wrong. No, sorry. He said, I performed the operation for my own use by cutting verse by verse out of the printed book and arranging the matter, which is evidently his, and which is as easily distinguished as diamonds in a dunghill.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of harsh. But he's saying that the stuff that really came from Jesus' mouth
is
the gold, the diamonds, and the dunghill. So he extracted all that.
Right.
And that was what he believed in.
Well, yeah, he thought the Platonics were sellouts. That they should have just, you know, maybe not added quite so much.
So what happened to it, Josh?
What happened to it was it basically, again, he did it for himself. I think I read a reference that he did it kind of on a whim or in response to a question from a friend of his, Dr. Benjamin Rush, who had said, like, how would you characterize your view of Christianity? So he went about doing that. I think that's where he got the idea. Yeah, exactly. Got a razor. And it was in his private library, which apparently somebody inherited, and a Smithsonian librarian came across it.
Yes, Cyrus Adler.
What I found funny is Cyrus Adler is a government employee,
right.
Came across this and was like, oh, I'm going to sell this to the Library of Congress.
Right.
You know?
And they bought it.
Yeah, they did. And they started putting it in print. Congress ordered it in print. Thomas Jefferson is considered the father of the Senate.
Yeah.
He was the first vice president.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote the rules of the Senate.
Right.
That are still in use today. He just did it because he was bored one day.
Sure.
Asperger's.
Same reason he cut up the Bible.
Yeah. And so Congress started publishing, I think it published like 9,000 copies.
Yeah.
And even still today, it's a customary welcome gift to new members of Congress.
I find that interesting.
Yeah. They're a lot of the same Congress who are like, this is a Christian nation.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still in there. That's the diamond. But it is very interesting that they would give an altered version of the Bible as a gift.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as odd as if they were to give, like, Aleister Crowley's memoirs.
Right.
But it was definitely a little odd. When I read that, I was slightly shocked.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reveals a certain disingenuousness, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Possibly.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes you think, at least.
Well, and it lets you know what was in Thomas Jefferson's mind. And he's easily one of the most fascinating historical figures we have.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
No. If you want to know more about the Jefferson Bible, you can read this pretty cool article by Jane McGrath.
You can find it online. The whole Bible.
You can do both. How about?
Sure.
Let's get some people to the site first. Okay?
Yeah, that's true.
You just type in Jefferson Bible in the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com. And then after that, you might as well just go read the Jefferson Bible, right?
Yes.
Yes. Which leads us to
listener questions. So, yeah, we put out a call on Facebook a couple of weeks ago for questions, and we got bombarded. So we're actually having to do this in installments because there were a lot of good questions.
Really? We need new questions, man.
These smell old. No, these are brand new.
Oh, they are. You're lying.
They're from 2 weeks ago, but they're still new because we haven't used them. So we're going to bust through a lot of these pretty quickly. Chuck says, who's taller between Josh, Chuckers, and Jerry? Josh is the tallest, at a robust 6 feet or so.
Mm-hmm. I'm about 6 feet on the nose.
I'm about 5'10". Jerry, how tall are you?
Jerry's 5'8". Behind the curtain,
so there you have
5'8".
Go ahead.
I've got one from Colin. Who would win in a fist fight, Ira Glass or Josh? I think it would be a...
We can actually size them up physically in person now.
I think it would be like a humiliating slap fight for both guys.
Right.
I don't know that there would be a fight. It'd be more like, do you remember Adam Goldberg in Dazed and Confused?
Yes.
You remember when he's
great
being pulled
scene.
Off?
Uh-huh.
Or when Nikki Katz is being pulled off of him?
Yeah.
I think it would be like that, but both of us.
Yeah.
Both of us is Adam Goldberg.
Right.
Yeah.
Trip says, can you finally reveal the name of the big box appliance store that did not do Chuck right with his extended warranty? I don't think that that would be very smart.
Do you know that even I don't know what it is?
I don't think that would be very brand smart to do, Josh. So I'm not going to. Thank you, Trip, for the question.
Wow. Chuck. I'm not reading this one.
Okay.
So here's another one from Natalie. Would you consider doing a 6 degrees of separation from your listeners? I go first. My sister Kathleen went to Redan High School with Chuck.
Kathleen Egan.
Awesome. So that's not a question. It even ends in an exclamation point.
Yeah.
I got.
Tom says, what's it like being so old, Chuck? Tom, it is awesome. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's one from Hannah. Which is better, cake or pie? What do you call a soft drink? I call it soda. My hubby calls it pop. That's two questions.
I call it Coke.
I call it Coke as well. I grew up calling it pop.
Yeah.
What's better, cake and pie? Actually, there's nothing better than a good cake pie.
Yeah, I like cake.
Cake pie.
I like pie, too. Brittany. Oh, this is Brittany from New York.
And actually, to answer that question, pie's better.
Okay. Remember Brittany? Brit?
Yes.
Brittany says, does Hippie Rob participate in the SYSK drinking game, which we don't sanction?
No one knows where Hippie Rob is.
And if so, is he the all-time record holder?
I don't even know that Hippie Rob knows that SYSK exists.
No, of course he doesn't.
I don't think he does. So this one's from Bobby. What are your favorite bands of all times or your favorite songs? My favorite band of all time, clear winner, is the Pixies. Chuck?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'll probably go with, like, The Who or Pavement. Maybe Zeppelin.
Meh.
Yeah. Brianna, our favorite fan, Brianna, says, what were your first impressions of each other? I thought Josh was like me when I first met him, and it turns out he sort of is. And he's sort of not.
That's not true at all.
No, I knew we were like fellow...
I thought you were a cool guy.
Reformed bad boys.
Yeah. You had that pack of cigarettes rolled up in your sleeve. That was the dead giveaway. I've got one from Ebba. How does Jerry work? She doesn't.
Oh, not true.
Go ahead.
Christopher, what's it like living in Hotlanta, particularly now that the summer's starting? It is awful. And I grew up here, and
yeah, it's nasty.
Still awful, and it's not like you get used
to it. No, it's gotten exponentially worse, even since I moved down here in 1990.
It's terrible.
You can't breathe. It's like you're swimming outside.
Yeah.
I got one more.
Shoot.
This one is from Mark. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? Flying.
Invisibility.
Okay. Well, those are the questions. Thank
you. Well, no, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
I got two more quick ones, Josh. Sean says, would you like cheese with that? Always, of course, is the answer to that question.
Okay.
And Joe says, what is the best, most unique piece of free swag anyone has sent you? And I think we just got it this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with the root suit.
Are you?
Yeah. The root suit, for those of you that are always Sunny in Philadelphia fans, is the Green Man costume that Charlie wears.
Mm-hmm.
And so I requested a Green Man outfit.
And you won't take it off.
And I got it, and I wrote the guy today and said, thank you so much for the Green Man thing. I'm really excited. And he said, your new life begins now.
Your new life of leaving absolutely nothing to the imagination, Chuck.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
Nobody wants to see this.
So if you have a question for us, go join our Facebook fan page, Jerk. It's facebook.com, yada, yada, stuff you should know. Follow us on Twitter, SYSK Podcast. And as always, you can send us an email. We still like those. It's very, you know, late 90s, but still, it's cute. You can send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa.
Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.